music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
I want to welcome into studio now David Conroy. And David is with the Larkin Residents Association, but also you're on the board of Gael School, Columkill. Is that right?
I'm not on the board of management. I'm involved in a couple of things, but the committee to get support and to further the cause of getting our permanent structure.
Yep.
That's a big deal with us at the moment, especially with the development that's happening in Lawrence Lands.
And this Lawrence Lands development, you've done a bit of research, and you reckon in a couple of years there's going to be
extra. Yeah, ground could break on that very, very soon. We're talking within a year, ground could feasibly be broken on that. And we're talking about a development that could comprise 650-something units. That's a massive development by anyone's standards. And it needs to be considered that that what we're looking for from our side of it, I know other people have lots of interest in this, and there's a lot of local involvement and prospective involvement with regard to the infrastructure, the roads, all that sort of thing. But where we're at is about the local school. We're the local school, Gael School, Columkill, and we've been part of this community for quite a while now. But what's happened is we're in a temporary structure. It's a prefab, a nice prefab, but you know, essentially a prefabricated building that has a temporary life. We want to be involved in this development.
And it started off very small.
Oh, listen, there are people who have sheds bigger than what we started off in, yeah.
And it's grown in the years, but you're still not happy with the building.
Yeah, to some people it might seem like a bit of a first world problem. It's not remotely out. But to start off with the origins of Gael School, Columkill, as you say, it grew up from a very, very humble origins, very small. People making very, very big sacrifices and working extremely hard to develop a small, small industry. It was like a little Joshua tree growing in the desert because there was very little to it.
Yeah.
And people were struggling and it was small. But now, eventually, with a lot of effort from people like Brent Dalton and Katrina and Sandra in the school, they managed to get the building we have at the moment, which is what's called a semi-permanent structure. It's essentially, it is temporary. It's got a lifespan that we were told that we'd be in it, let's say, a few years before ground would be broken on the new development for our proper school. So we're delighted to have what we have. That's great. But we are turning away a class every year. It's a small temporary building that has limited lifespan, limited functionality and limited amenities, and we really need to just keep the pressure on to get the new development happening alongside the Lawrence Lands development.
And Gael School Columkill themselves has spent a lot of money.
Well, yes. I suppose from two strands, we have land set aside and assurances that land will be for the new school, and that's great. Now, we've spent some money on that land trying to make it usable for the functions, but it seems it's building land and pretty much building land only. It wouldn't make a football field just as is, but building land is what it's set aside for, and we needed to see what we could do. So we spent some money trying to improve the surface for occasional use. And also we have, because of the fact that we were turning away a class every single year for, as long as we're there, I think. But we're turning away a class full of prospective students, and this is pretty soul-destroying for any school, as you can imagine.
And this is down to lack of space.
Oh, sheer lack of space. Sheer lack of space. So what happened in the last year to take on a second stream, just for 1 year, to take on a second stream was to source a prefab. This happened without government funding because we weren't told to do it. That's fair enough. We kind of get that. We've taken on the cost of a prefab to make space for that second stream of junior infants this year. This can't continue to happen, as you know, in the space that we have available.
And the classes at the moment, how are you cramming children, students into the classes?
What?
Do you have to keep it within a certain amount of students?
There are guidelines. They're very strongly held guidelines that do exist within the building of, or in the building of new schools and in the building of even temporary structures. And there has to be a certain amount of space. Now, if you walk into the rooms in the school, there is good space available. There's a toilet for each of the there's a toilet for the children, like one for the boys, one for the girls. You know, there'd be good space that people can walk between the tables. So, you know, it looks good when you walk into it, and it's great. Basically, what we need is more of it.
Now, in relation to this development, are you concerned that the extra children coming in when this place when people start moving into this place, that you're going to be turning away even more children?
Oh, because I'd say, if nothing happened, we will still be turning away a class every year.
So, would you like? Do you want this done before?
Well, it makes perfect sense. If you're going to stick in 650 units, many of them small homes, starter homes, the demographic of which is going to be younger families, they will have children of primary going age. So it's projected that we could have a need in the next 5 to 7 years for up to 1,400 extra school places. And that is overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming even if we do get our new school, but we can play a very big part in offering school places to the people who arrive into these new developments.
Now, I know myself, Gael schools have a great record, they're great educational institutions, but people are going to say, why not build a normal English-speaking school for everyone?
Well, it's a question we hear more than once, and I would say that we are the normal school. We are the local school. We're the community's school. We've been there. We're 84% of our students are within 2 miles. 3 kilometres to be exact. 1.9 miles. They're that close. Now, with the proper infrastructure, that's walking distance. So this shouldn't be a problem. Gael Scoileanna are sometimes perceived as a movable feast. If somebody were to say, well, you know, the Gael School wants to be built, people have this perception sometimes that people will travel to it. I know that some people travelled to our secondary school. When I went to school, I went to Clough Stone, and some people travelled a bit, but, you know, an awful lot of the people were from the locality. 84% of the students, as I say, travel from very, very near to our school. We are part of this community for quite some time now. And it's not a special interest. There is a great advantage to bilingual education. Children take it on board. And a lot of research to show that not only being bilingual has benefits right through from the early age, from right through academia, right through to old age, in fact. You know, there's a smaller instance of Alzheimer's disease, for example, among bilingual people. So all through life, being bilingual is going to help. As well as which, it's important to remember that we are so ingrained in this in the locality and in the community that we're involved in many activities that we bring all the locality into. We have a family fun day every year. We had our 20th celebrations last summer. The locality were all involved, and people came in who weren't really part of the school or who were only interested and have a passing interest in the school. It's very important to have that involvement. I'd also say, just on the basis of being the normal school, it also adds a great advantage that you know, the top university feeder schools, non fee paying, have also been Irish-speaking schools. So it's important to remember that there's an advantage to it rather than it being a special interest.
Now, what would you say to those families out there listening, and to non-Irish-speaking families? Would they be a bit wary of attending a Gael school?
They might be, until they realise that most of our parents are non-Irish-speaking.
Yeah.
My parents were non-Irish-speaking, and the only reason I went to an Irish-speaking school was because it was just around the corner. This is the parable that I'm trying to get out there, that if we want to revive the language, and, you know, it's not the biggest deal for most people, let's be honest, but the way to revive the language is to get people involved in it who otherwise wouldn't be. It's very simple to get Gaelgory to spend to get their children into a Gaelscoil. Very simple to get that done. They have an interest already. They have the motivation. And for them, maybe an Irish-speaking school is a movable feast. But what's happening in Gaelscoil Columbkille is there's a huge majority who are not Gaelgory, who are sending their children to our school and seeing them come back with great linguistic ability. And it has to be said, the ability to learn other languages with ease as well. There are children from all over. There are children from outside Ireland, many children from outside Ireland, in the Gaelscoil Columbkille. And it is wonderful to see them take on board the language so easily.
Right, we're going back to the development, the big development, and I've interviewed Brian on
naturally,
a couple of occasions,
yes.
And he's very, very concerned, as are the Lorcan Resident Associations, and there's an awful lot of other resident associations now coming together to try and get something sorted about these developments.
Yes, and Brian has been involved with us as well, and he's been tremendously helpful. His knowledge of this is unfathomable.
Yeah. So Gaelscoil Columbkille has the backup of all the residents' associations and are part of this.
Absolutely, yeah. And any input that we can offer them and that they can offer us, this development needs to be a community driven enterprise as well, because that's the only way it's going to work best.
So what's your strategy now, David?
Our strategy has been from the early stages of setting up our committee, we invited local politicians, local councillors, and of course the ministers in this locality now as well. So we've been inviting people in and getting their support to ensure, obviously, the setting aside or the use of the land that's been set aside, and to hurry along the process of getting this school built for ourselves and for the community, especially with this development going up. As well as, of course, canvassing our local politicians and public representatives, we also have a petition on the go. Not only in face-to-face, many of the listeners might have heard us, might have seen us in Northside Shopping Centre, freezing ourselves outside the doors trying to get signatures, but also we're online, so it can be done from the comfort of our own home. We're on uplift.ie. Many details about our campaign and why it's happening are also there. So anything I miss, it's possible to read up on why we're doing what we're doing and what we're hoping to achieve. So uplift.ie has Gaelscoil Columbkille as one of its petition causes. And we'd encourage people to sign up there. It does make a difference whether or not you're Gaelgory or not. This is a matter of furthering education in the Coolock area.
And we reckon that it's very important that this is done before this development begins. Has there been any go-ahead or any definite dates as to when this is all going to happen, or is it still all up in the air?
It was suggested that ground could be broken as early as this coming summer. Now, at one stage, I haven't heard anything further on that, but even still, I would expect things to start happening before next year. I really would. There are conflicting reports, but this is how close it is. So what we're trying to do is get our building to happen maybe before, preferably alongside. Alongside the new development would work very well, because of course there'll be a lot of disruption as it is. Why let it happen afterwards? Because that's just additional disruption for people who are already in place.
And the lands are there and earmarked.
Oh, the lands are there, and it's a shame to see the lands turning into what they're turning into. For quite a while I've been walking the kids through. There's a footpath through Lawrence Lands that makes it easier on me when I miss the traffic in the morning. But in the last while I've been walking the kids through there, and it's a dump. Exercise machines, old bikes, radios, it's all thrown in there. This is not a matter of losing anything. It's a matter of developing something into what I see as a very worthwhile development if it's done properly.
Yeah.
And I think it could benefit the area hugely.
There's huge concern about the infrastructure.
There is. I mean, well, look at 650 homes added to the Oscar Traynor Road area. You've seen that road in the morning.
I have, yes.
From half past eight in the morning, it's jammers right from the roundabout on the airport road. And as you really come the other direction, it's all the way from Northside.
It's really a one lane.
Oh, it is.
Because they're the bus lane.
And apparently it's not a matter of widening it at there because there are pipes and everything underneath that mound of grass. I only found that out lately. Mm. So we've got difficulties with that already. That could cause, well, that could necessitate quite a bit of work. Now, I know people are well capable of solving these problems, but I think one of the most important things is to have community input. And fair dues to Brian Dalton and all those others working with him from the Castle Tymon side, and who are helping us tremendously as well. And as I say, we want all the community to try and work together to get this development and make this development workable for everyone in the Northside area.
And as you said, Gaelscoil Conwick Hill is a huge part of the community in that area, and if that community is going to increase in size, then it only stands to reason that
we want our slice. Absolutely. Yeah. We want the kids involved. We want to be that community school for a bigger community. I'm absolutely delighted to say that. And let nobody, as you say, be in any way concerned that it's a Gaelscoil, because the Gaelscoil is a by-the-by for many children. Many children see speaking a second language or chopping and changing from one language to another as a game, and they get very, very good at it. And interestingly, we find that they're better at switching between languages. They're better at adapting up until secondary school. That starts to slow down at age 12, thereabouts. Yeah. And that's when we start speaking, teaching extra languages. So yeah, absolutely, let people be involved. Let us be a part of the wider and growing community in this area.
Now, the different languages are fantastic. I actually have two grandchildren, and their mommy is Italian. My dad is Irish. And when they go to Italy, they just automatically switch from speaking English to Italian.
That's right.
It is absolutely amazing.
The
mommy, the Italian mommy, actually did Irish classes. And knows more Irish than the rest of us.
I would say that there are parents in Gaelscoil Conwy Cille who have tremendously good Irish. We have occasional Irish speaking groups and conversation groups going on, and we've had parents from other nationalities stepping in and speaking. I mean, many of our students are trilingual at this stage, which is great.
The interest in the Irish language seems to be increasing. In recent years, there's coffee mornings, us Gaelga, and
I mean, I was talking to Kieran in there just before I came in, and we were saying that one of the things that's happening in Irish is that people talk in Irish about Irish a lot. What we need to do now is to make it a very current, everyday language for everyone, whether it's spoken in the home or not. Really, yeah, of course, we like to be people to make an effort. But I'm cognizant from my point of view that it will happen only to a certain degree. My parents didn't have a great deal of Irish, but we spoke it if we could.
Yeah.
But so it was almost a bilingual environment. You step out of school, you go into, and that's not a bother for small children. It's never a problem. So I think it's a wonderful thing to see it strengthening for Gaelgoirlie being prominent in media as well. It does help. Many people from my old school, of course, are involved in that side of things, and it's good to know that the language is getting stronger and people are developing an interest.
It is, and it's recognised now as a European language as well, isn't it?
A good idea. Now, there are people who will complain that's actually costing money in terms of translating and things like that, but I think there are many languages that are spoken probably less, and many that are spoken more. And there's nobody in this country who speaks Irish who doesn't speak English. We have to acknowledge that. But at the same time, I think, you know, the expression is in Irish, Tiargan Tanga, Tiargan Anam. It is very much a part of our national psyche, our national mentality, that we should be able to call our language our own. It is part of the way we communicate. It's an amazing thing to listen to people speaking English and to realise how many of our expressions come straight from Irish. Is it yourself that's in it? And the faint thong. These straight out of Irish.
Yeah.
I've come just back from Clifton. My in-laws live there, and to hear the amount of expressions that come from the Irish language. We're all saying it, we're all using Irish in English.
Yeah.
So let's use
it in
Irish.
Feel is. Now, unfortunately, we're running out of time. Do you want to remind our listeners how they can help, where they go to?
Or absolutely.
Is there anything else
yeah,
you'd like
for
to add before that?
Sorry?
Anything else you'd like to add before we give out contact number?
I hope we've covered everything. I, you know, as I say, don't get me started on the Irish language. I'll always do that. But I would just like to recap that although many people passing the school see it as a relatively modern building, it's got a finite lifestyle. We do need this done. What people can do now is to log on to uplift.ie, look for Girls Called Colum Killer, and sign our petition and get on board. Or, failing that, contact the school. We have petitions there. And there's lots of information available about what we're trying to achieve on uplift.ie as well. We need to keep the issue in the public eye, keep the pressure on all our local representatives to put education first in this area.
And just to go on the same subject, we'll go off it a little bit. If there are parents out there and they want to get their children involved with Gales Coast School,
absolutely. I know I'm going on about the lack of space, but we need people also to register their expression of interest. Contact the school. Express your interest in the school. If we get that, we will know. We can base our projections on that. This strengthens our case for having all the amenities that we will need to provide everything for their children and for their children's children, as is happening now. Grandparents are coming up to the school whose children were in this, who were in the school in the early stages. So I think we're that long involved in the community that I think it's important that people get involved. People from the locality, of course, would be more than welcome, and from further afield. We want people to contact the school, get their expressions of interest in, email the school, ring the school. Absolutely, we're everyone is more than welcome, and don't let the Irish language thing put you off, because it's an advantage. Yeah. It's an added bonus.
The more applications, the more interest. The
well, there is that. Yes, we need to get to get people's expressions of interest. It's very important, because look at it like a business. If there's a business, we need to have projections. Yeah. And if you can give good, accurate projections as to how interested people are in your product, then you can. You can be successful on the Dragon's Den, and we're hoping to be able to do that.
Right, David. It's www.uplift.ie.
That's right. Girls Called Colum Killer also has a website with information, so that's worth looking up as well.
Okay, David. Well, listen, keep in touch with Near FM and let us know about any more developments. And
we will, of course. John, thanks very much for having me on.
No, you're more than
it's,
welcome.
It's tremendous, and thanks for Near FM's consistent interest in local issues. It's it is a tremendous help to get these things and these issues in the forefront.
That's what we're here for, community radio station. So thank you, David Conroy. Thanks very much for coming into the studio. It was great talking to you.
Across Northeast Dublin,
90.3.
This is Near FM.